busy as we used to be, as we're grandparents rather than parents, but we just enjoy getting a bit of free time for date night and things like that still as a couple.
What do you like about being in England?
I'd like to say the weather, but probably not. It's different. We've been away from Bolivia overall for about, well, close on 32 years, and we're kind of getting back into England. But I think one of the good things is the way that we're looked after, the NHS, good bus services, and the services that we have are really good.
Just wondering, how much time do you normally spend in Bolivia?
Well, when I was considerably younger, I was down there with my children full time. Aisha and I were there with our three children from 1990 until about 2008. But now we spend less time in Bolivia and more time here in England and in the States because our children and grandchildren are actually in the States, which complicates our life a little bit. So we spend a lot of time traveling. But we spend at least three trips to Bolivia each year of between 3 to 6 weeks each time.
That's a lot of jet lag.
Tell me about it.
Some people say that you have been working in South America for about triple my life. Is this true?
It is. It is my 30, well, I'll be talking about it a little later, but it's been 32 years now since we first landed in Bolivia.
I heard that last year you ran the London Marathon. What was your time, and do you think you'll beat it this year?
I have to be honest, I didn't run it. I did the virtual marathon, I walked. But I did walk the 26.2 miles in under 7 hours. Whether I can do that again, I don't know. We're hoping to have some places this year, so I might find out.
Don't worry, this is the last question. Which do you prefer, Bolivia or the UK?
Ooh, now that's a tough one. That's a real tough one. I always say that it doesn't matter where you are. It's not a question of place. It's a question of who you're with. And the other important thing, I have to say, is food. I have my favorite foods in Bolivia, my favorite foods in the States, and my favorite foods here. So I don't think I have a specific preference. It's just a matter of spending time with different people in different places. It's great to be here, in person. We've been moving around a little bit to different churches in recent weeks, and it's nice to get back into in-person worship and spend some time with people who know us. And we don't know you very well, because for most of the time we've been coming to NMBC, we've been doing it via Zoom. Which was during the first lockdown. I think we'd only managed to get here about 4 or 5 times before the pandemic hit. And a lot of the time before that, we were in Bolivia. So it's really wonderful to have this opportunity just to share with you in person, see all your faces here. Well, most of them, those that don't have masks on. But it's great to be here. And we want to, first of all, say a huge thank you for the support that you give to this work in Bolivia. We really do appreciate it. We were just having a kind of reflection a couple of weeks ago, Aisha and I, because on the 23rd of January, just 2 Sundays ago, we were thinking and reflecting on the fact that it was 32 years since we first landed in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, which was a major shock to the system, 5 degrees in London to 35 degrees in Santa Cruz, with 85-90% humidity. It was definitely a shock to the system. So our arrival there was back in the days when there wasn't a lot of orientation, preparation, and all those things that we expect to have before hitting an unknown place. We had an interesting route down. It took us through Brussels, I think, first, then Madrid, then Dakar in West Africa, then across to Asuncion, Paraguay, where we spent about 10 hours, and then a trip up from Asuncion to Santa Cruz, where we arrived at 10 past 7 in the evening. This is how well I remember it, in that heat. And the interesting thing is we were picked up by a vehicle to go to the rented YWAM base. The vehicle was a double cabin pickup, but it arrived with 6 people already in it. This is kind of the Bolivian way. So having come from that very, you know, health and safety conscious UK, about 7:30 by the time we got through customs and everything, the first thing we did in the dark, in a strange place, is bundled our 3 children, 7, 5, and 3, along with the suitcases, into the back of the pickup, together with a Bolivian guy who we'd never met before and didn't speak a word of English. And then we crammed in to the rest of the cab with these other five people. So there are now 7 of us crammed into this double cabin pickup, which was actually borrowed from the Anglican Church. And then we were driven into town to where we were going to be staying. When we arrived, this was the Anglican premises that we as youth with a mission were renting for the first discipleship training school in Santa Cruz, which was due to start 4 days later, right on the very edge of the city as it was at that time. They had fumigated the house at the back of the property where we were going to stay, which was a living room and 2 bedrooms. As they turned the lights on, this would be by about 8:15 now, because of fumigating, I don't know if you know, but cockroaches don't die immediately. So when they turned the lights on, there were 200 cockroaches still legs up, wriggling on the floor. This was our welcome to where we were going to be staying as a family. So after we'd managed to sweep up the cockroaches and clean up a little bit, get our kids settled in and everything, and even during that first week, we had to teach our children about scorpions, which we would find scuttling across their bedroom floor. Please wear your shoes, or at least some flip-flops, so if you see one of these, you can stand on it and dispose of it. And snakes and possums running through the kitchen, all sorts of wonderful wildlife. That was our welcome to Bolivia. When we first went in 1990, we went really to do research and to see if that was where the Lord really wanted us to be, working with street children. At the end of the year, as a family of 5, 4 out of 5 of us were very convinced that we should return. And Aisha will freely admit that she was the 5th one that wasn't quite so enthusiastic about the option of returning to Bolivia after our first year, because of the experiences we had there were quite, well, interesting to say the least. But we've now been there for 32 years since we first landed there on the 23rd of January. But as we look at what the Lord has done over those years, it's quite amazing as we see his faithfulness. And we were called very specifically, and I'll come back to that in a minute, to work with street children that live full-time on the streets, not those that are there just some of the time with their parents or in the marketplaces, but those that are full-time on the streets that have broken their links with home and are usually aged between about 8 and 17 is when we'll take them off the streets. So if we just move to the next slide, it will give you some information about Bolivia. not much, but a little. but it just gives you a quick comparison economically of where Bolivia is at. The economy is still the poorest economy in South America. I had thought that Venezuela would have probably taken that prize, but even Venezuela's economy is calculated to be about three times that of Bolivia still. So it is far and away the poorest economy. 70% of the workforce live below the poverty line and below the minimum wage in Bolivia, the minimum wage being around about £225 a month. Just to give you a kind of perspective. But as we began to build, I kind of waved my hands around for moving on the slides, if we could. Yeah, thank you. We work with street outreach, so we have teams working on the streets. We have a reception home. We have restoration homes, which is where the children come. Once they decide to stay with us, they can stay there till they finish high school. So that may be quite an extended time. And then we have what we call reintegration homes, where they can stay having finished high school and study a career in university or technical school. So the street outreach is ongoing. We have Yovana, who you'll see there, is one of our Bolivian workers who heads up that team and is out on the streets regularly. Still, even in the pandemic, she's getting out with other ministries to keep contact with those on the streets, and we've still been bringing youngsters in. The pandemic hasn't slowed us down very much. In fact, it's been a bit of an advantage because the kids don't want to escape so quickly sometimes. Although I have to say, we did lose one guy on Friday night, Nicolas, if you could be praying for him. So if we could move on to the reception home. In the last, this is some of the ones that came in during last year. Nicolas at the top there is the one who sadly left on Friday evening. Our team is already out looking for him, which is one of the unique things that happens with Operation Restoration is when they leave, we do try and find them. We go out, our team is immediately notified, and we get out looking for them and very often get them back into the home within 24 hours. Sadly, the two that you see at the bottom there, Heidi and Maria Liz, left back in September. Our team is still working with them, hoping that they will come back. Heidi is very young and has a very difficult past, and I can't really share too much detail, but she really has a lot of a past of abuse since the age of three, and she is very, very difficult, her behaviours, but was with us for nearly a year before she decided to leave. So if we can move on to those that have just come in recently. Marcos, age 14, came off the streets 19th of January and is settling into El Camino at the moment. And Amelie just came in on the 24th of January as well, and she's settling into El Alfarero, which is our girls' home, the Potter. El Camino, both our main homes are quite a long way outside the city to give that physical distance from their old life. They're also very spacious to give them a sense of freedom as they settle into the homes. If we could move the next slide. A lot of the focus is on, obviously, sharing the gospel with them through devotionals, through church attendance, through small groups. We do all that we can to share the gospel with them constantly. Sports, as you saw from the interviews, volleyball and football, very much a thing. We try and keep them away from the internet, just mentioning the little Jose Armando, who was a little bit in denial about his past. With the younger children, very often they spend a lot of time in internet cafes, and they don't spend it looking at healthy content. Very often in the poorer areas of the city, the internet cafes will actually allow them to sleep or stay in overnight in the internet cafes, but they'll be watching porn most of the time, sadly. So they come in with some very interesting traumas and difficulties in their identity and everything else. So you can imagine that younger ones, especially at the age of 9, 10, 11, that have been through that maybe for years, have very difficult behavioral issues. But education is also one of the main things that we focus on, getting them back into school after 6 months to a year into mainstream school. This is the group of the 14 that were. Nicolas, as I say, left on Friday, and we'll hope to see him back in the next day or so. 14 boys in El Camino meaning the way. It's great to see them getting out. This is in the local square of the town between our girls' home and our guys' home. The two homes are 5 miles apart. We work with teenagers, I don't need to explain. So the girls' home is a bit more hidden. It's further off the road. We keep it fairly anonymous. Because the girls struggle to take the decision to come off the streets because they're usually controlled and dominated by older guys on the streets. So it takes a lot more time working with them for them to take that decision to come in because they feel very insecure because they are, when I say dominated, they're beaten quite regularly by the boys who look after them, supposedly. Many of them are allowed to be in prostitution, to earn money to survive. So they very often don't see an economic need, but they are desperately needy. Sarah, who you saw on there, age 17, there she is in the middle with little Rose, her daughter, 3 years old now, Rose. But Sarah had her daughter obviously at 14, and she's had, I think, 4 or 5 abortions during her teenage years as well. So she has a very difficult past to overcome. And this is not uncommon for most of the girls. It's quite unusual for girls to come in who haven't experienced abuse, rape, abortions, and so on. In fact, I think over the years we've only actually had one who experienced physical abuse without sexual abuse. So, yeah. But we do have the celebrations of the milestones in life. Edith celebrated her high school graduation in December after just over 5 years with us. I still wear this rather tatty-looking bracelet, which I'm hoping to renew when I see her in a couple of weeks' time when I'm going down. I've had it for about 3.5 years, and she said, "You won't take it off, will you?" I said, "No." And then when I went back, she said, "Oh, you still got it on. Why do you keep it on?" I said, "Because it reminds me to pray for you every day." And that's the kind of relationship that we try to build with these youngsters. They're family to us. They're like our children, or these days more like our grandchildren. But we try to build that kind of relationship with them. We're in touch with them via WhatsApp and via Facebook Messenger, even when they leave the home. Maria, Liz, and Heidi and others still keep contact with us even when they've left, because they know that in Operation Restoration they can find refuge and they can find what they really need, but very often they struggle with that decision. So we have boys in our reintegration home. This is Mauricio, who's in his final year of construction engineering, and Roberto, who's in his fourth, just going into his 4 or 5 years of civil engineering. Roberto is the oldest sibling of 4 that we have in our ministry at the moment. So we have 3 others coming up behind him. If we go to the next slide, one of them is Vicky, who's in her second year of medicine, and Edith as well is just starting her art degree. We've seen others finish last year. We had a young man who finished his football training, who's now working for the local football academy called Tawichi, which is known internationally. Even they send people down from the States to train in Tawichi in Bolivia. So, and he's one of the trainers there now. 30 years we celebrated of the actual ministry. As I said, our first year in 1990 was very much research. 1991 is when we started. We were privileged to be able to be down there last year on the 6th of August. So we're sitting there in the middle of the crowd of all those that were involved. It was a great time to celebrate on the 6th of August, which is also the Bolivian National Independence Day. So we had a big celebration that day. It was wonderful to be there. And the next slide, if we can get it to work, is just an example of how some of our boys celebrate a win. Yeah, they were shouting a bit louder at the beginning, so we missed a bit of the sound there, but yeah. That's Danielle and some of our boys just celebrating a goal, I think it was at the time, but yeah. But it's great to see the difference you see between how they are on the streets, if we put the next slide up, the difference of how they are on the streets compared to how they are in the homes. And the smile, the happiness that we're able to see in their lives. Here we go. I'm going to do it again. No sound this time. Okay. Been having some issues this morning, but that's fine. Thank you. So we're always aiming to go from the streets into the homes. There on the right-hand side, you've got Ramiro, one of our staff, the leadership team. He's a psychologist as well, with Diego, who's another one of the siblings of Roberto and Vicky, who's doing incredibly well in school. They've just started the education year there and everything, so it's been wonderful to see how he is growing as well. But I'm supposed to share something of scripture and everything, I'm sure, while I'm here. So one of the things that we were reflecting on a couple of weeks ago was our initial calling and the way God spoke to us about going to Bolivia. My background is the Met Police. I was a police constable here in Wimbledon and Mitcham. And Aisha was working at Croydon Council just before we started our family. And it was back in the 80s when the Lord started to speak to us about a calling. And Isaiah 58 talks about the kind of fasting that God calls us to. And this scripture just gives a sense of calling, but also amazing promises that come up during that word. It's Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 12. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This was the specific scripture the Lord gave us before we took our step of faith to go to Bolivia. And it was something that other people brought to us. It's not the only one, but it's the main scripture that really we sense the Lord's calling. And as we've walked out that calling in Bolivia, we've seen those promises that you see dotted through that scripture. We've seen them fulfilled. We've seen his faithfulness. We've seen his blessing. We've seen his provision always. We're still YWAMers, which means unsalaried. We still see him provide for us and for this ministry faithfully and constantly. And it's been an amazing walk. One of the things I was sharing with our staff team on a team meeting yesterday via Zoom in Bolivia was God's faithfulness and God's provision and the fact that we are all called and we only just need to respond. Then during that first year we were there, the Lord gave us a further scripture in Isaiah 54, verses 2 to the first bit of verse 4. I'm sure some of these are known to you. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. The key points there were this calling to launch, to get out, to enlarge the place of your tent. Do not hold back. And that is a word that really touched my heart. And when you read it in Spanish, in the Spanish Bible, it says, no te limites, which literally means do not limit yourself. And that was something that really spoke to my heart in Spanish, because very often we are our own worst enemy. We limit ourselves because we don't recognize who God is in us and how he can work in and through us. And we must look to him and not limit ourselves. Do not hold back. And then the two next bits talk about strengthening your cords. Lengthening your cords and strengthening your stakes. So there's two things at the same time. It's going forward, but also strengthening what you've learnt on the way. And that last bit, do not be afraid, I think is something that we need to always be aware of, and something that the Lord brings back to us, the first part of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. The Lord brings back to us constantly as we seek to serve him. And then finally, the last scripture I'll share with you this morning is from Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. Paul speaking to the Philippians, saying, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Another scripture the Lord brings us back to so often is that we're not done yet. We've got more to do. He has purposes for us still. We need to be pressing on. We mustn't be idle. We must be aware that he has more and more and more. While we're here on this earth, there's still more. And I think that's a message we need to talk about very often, is that it's very easy to, especially at our stage of life, my stage, is to think retirement, it's time to ease back a bit and maybe not do so much. But the Lord brings this to me constantly and says, you're not done yet. While you're fit and healthy, there's retirement. No, don't think so. I don't see it for me either, and I don't see it in Moses either. I don't think Moses retired very early, did he? I always go back to many biblical characters. Retirement wasn't really on the agenda. So it's just the way the Lord keeps speaking to us, that we're to carry on and keep going. And I'm thankful for the health that we've had. We've seen several of our close friends and pastors in Bolivia die during this pandemic. One of our very close friends and supporters of the ministry in the early days back in the 90s. A pastor in Bolivia died just on Monday. A young man afflicted with COVID and died. Many times people in Bolivia don't get to the hospital in time to get the treatment they need. They leave it too late. And he was another one who was very devoted to the work of the Lord, but didn't make it, sadly. So we'd ask for your prayers for his family. Fernando Vargas is his name. And we'd ask for your prayers very specifically for Nicolas, who ran off on Friday as well. And also for my upcoming trip. I'll be heading down there in 2 weeks' time to spend about 3 weeks just to encourage our staff and the children in our homes. So, and just to say again, a massive thank you to you for your support, for supporting Johnny in the marathon last year as well. We appreciate your support for him. I don't know if he's up for it again this year or not. I don't know. We might have some places. Well, okay, yeah. And we're thankful for the support we get from NMBC. And I think Johnny and Kate have just confirmed their tickets to come down to visit in July as well. And we're looking forward to receiving them down there. So may the Lord bless you. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing.